You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try and watch the rest.
Yes, yes, nothing but Netflix is back to talk about Sexy Beasts season 2 here today on Nothing But Netflix. And let me welcome in my co-host, one of podcasting's sexiest beasts around.
Rob. Wow. I was going to say something clever about my WAP. You know, my wonderful ass personality. Yes,
we have two wonderful ass personalities here on the show.
We brought a WAP, Rob. We literally have the queen of WAP herself as our guest this week. I'm so excited.
Yes. Okay. So this summer, when Sexy Beast dropped in the first run, our guest, Puya Zanvakili, covered it all. And here to grace us with her presence, it is the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I'm wondering if I can add WAP to my
wonderful ass personality. Yeah. If you haven't, yeah, that's a thing.
I guess so. I am so excited that I get to podcast with the two of you because, you know, when you pivoted away from the Reality Rewind, or I forget the name, Happy Rewind, what were you calling
Rewind,
that?
Yes.
Yeah.
RIP.
Yeah, RIP, rest its soul. To Netflix, I was like, I am notorious for not watching a lot of stuff in the TV and movies realm, but I feel like I've found like my little area of expertise, perhaps by accident. So you know how like Kirsten McInnes is like if it's Hot Dummies on Island, she's covering it. I feel like I have fallen into this like little area of like, if it's like sort of like a dating show, but it's like weird, or we're saying they're ugly or something like that. Like that is where I am starting to live. And so here I guess I will accept this with open arms. I just have a wonderful ass personality. So wow.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you guys decided to take on the beast that is Sexy Beast.
Yeah, Sexy Beast. So that season 2 is what, 6 episodes, and we have watched 3 of them here to talk about on the podcast, which is fine because every episode of Sexy Beast is exactly the same.
Yes,
you only need to watch one to get the podcast.
I mean, when Puya and I covered season 1 together, we were very honest with the listeners about you don't have to watch this show.
Mm-hmm.
You really, really don't. In fact, we almost encourage you not to watch it, but we will do the work for you. And just, you know, you can join us and listen to us have very confused feelings about what we witnessed. Mm-hmm. And you know, let me tell you, after watching 3 episodes of season 2, the point remains.
Right. Right. So we'll talk Sexy Beast. Chappelle, how's everything going with you?
Everything's good. I'm hella busy these days, but I mean,
good Thanksgiving.
We had the chance to talk. It was It was a Thanksgiving, like it was giving thanks, you know, if you know what I mean. And so I enjoyed it, but I am happy that the holiday is over. You know, we get back into the swing of things until the next holiday, which is like today, you know, so, you know, that's how it goes. But yeah. I'm good, Rob. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. Been busy moving. The worst is behind me, as was like a really like a hell week from like Sunday to Sunday. But I think that the worst of it is over. I'm ready to dive into some sexy beasts here with you.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with furries?
I am familiar. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
how familiar?
I mean, it's not my jam, but I do know what it is.
Yuck the yum.
I tend to yuck the yum for a lot of people, but yeah, not my.
Well, the thing is that, like, I almost
not my
feel
sexy
like,
beast.
I feel like this show would have been even more interesting if it was truly about furries.
Right. This is how I dress. I dress up in this costume all the time.
Right. But no,
this is what they dressed me in.
And like the thing about this is that that's frustrating is it's like, oh, okay. So the big question of like, are you going to find them like attractive or not underneath this like ugly costume? It's like they're constantly casting people that are
Everybody's enough. Hot.
Yeah. So it's like,
there's no zonk.
Like, yeah. So yeah. I feel like I think that a show about furries would be better.
Yeah.
But this is what we got.
Is that the flaw with sexy beasts? Should one of the three beasts be not as sexy?
I mean, how would you choose though? Like, when do you say like, okay, you two are the sexy beast and you're the decoy?
It's like, hey, like, yeah. Like I'm going on these dates with people, but one of them, like two of them are sexy, but one is not going to be that sexy.
I don't know. I think the beauty of the show is that it makes the sexy people explore their own personalities. Like we even see in one of these episodes where this woman gets cut, you know, she's like, I'm not picking you to go to the next round. And she says, why? And I thought that was a great question because like, she's like, as far as I know, I'm hot. So this has never happened before. Do I suck? Like, is my personality bad? And so maybe it's more like an internal,
not a wonderful,
you know,
ass personality.
Yeah, let
everyone
me tell
can
you,
have a WAP.
Some of them don't have good personalities.
Yeah, and that gets exposed.
That is just how it works. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how it functions when you have someone where you're like, okay, well, you're the decoy, you're the uggo, so I just
they
know,
don't
completely
have to be like so like maybe it's like that they're not as attractive.
Okay, well, so what about the criteria? What if it's like the lead gives their like ideal physical type and there's two people that meet that kind of criteria and then there's one person that doesn't, but they're still attractive and like maybe that's along the lines of it. I don't know, but it's just like, it's like everyone's hot, but are they your type of hot? Like that's really what it comes down to. You're not real. No one's ever.
What's
no reveal
time?
Where they're like, oh, you're actually so unattractive. They're all like, you're attractive. Yeah. Like,
way back when we talked about average Joe, it was like there were the Joes and then there were the hunks. But what if on this show you didn't know who were the Joes and who were the hunks? And you had to only go by their personality.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. I'm sure
there were Fox reality shows like Mr. Personality that explored this, but still.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you probably could say like, okay, we took some people who thought they were going to apply for like a Beauty and the Geek type show, right? Like we took geeks who like self-identify as geeks who could be hot, but that's not their primary, you know, identifier. And then we told them like, okay, we're not putting you on that show. We're doing this show instead. And then you're stuck with like two sexy beasts and a geek, and you kind of have to sift through which one is which.
I mean, look, season three, feel free to take this and run with it. I do want to just give a quick heads up, Nothing But Netflix. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast feed as well at robsitewebsite.com/Netflix feed to make sure you never miss an episode of Nothing But Netflix. And Chappelle, we had such a great episode last week with Bryce Isaiah. We were truly blessed to have Bryce back with us to talk about Tiger King season two. We do have a tiger here in Sexy Beast, but we got a lot of great feedback, which we love to get from the listeners about the season two of Tiger King.
Yeah, a lot of the feedback I got was, thank you for watching this so I don't have to. And to that, I say, you're welcome.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, having Bryce on is a joy all the time. Also, wherever they're locking up Joe Exotic, they can lock Bryce up too, because I just know that he's guilty of something, you know? He gives me guilty vibes.
Jenny, did you watch Tiger King season two?
I didn't know. I've not watched it. I don't know that I will. I mean, I
think Sexy Beast season two is the better season two on Netflix right now.
Well, and I only accidentally watched the first one because Phil started watching it and I was like, I am not watching this with you. And then he just was, I just kept watching it while I was in the room. Like, he was like watching it near me and then I just got roped in. I don't even want to risk that. And I don't think that that's really a risk at any point. Mm. So I don't think I will be venturing into season two. There's just so many other things that I could watch. I barely watch good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very fair point.
Like, all right, actively go pick something horrible to watch. Yeah. So,
Jenny, in your coverage of season one of Sexy Beast, did you and Puya get into a lot of like the behind the scenes of production of like how they made these decisions about because we have, well, basically, if you didn't see the show, they have, it's like a limit date. You have one person, there are three suitors. They're going to eliminate one after the first 10 minutes, and then they go on a date with the other two and ultimately pick the other one, and then you get to see what everybody looks like. That's Sexy Beasts. Do the contestants on Sexy Beasts have any sort of agency over what their costume is going to be?
So we talked a lot about why they made those decisions, but we were never clear on what the actual premise is in terms of this product. We assume that production decides who is who, but it's never equal. Like, there was like one episode where like one was like a witch and it was like the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And then like the other two were like just cute animals. And it was just like, that doesn't seem fair. So it's like, I don't know that the people being cast have a lot of agency on what they end up becoming. I don't know. If anyone is like a hardcore, like, I know behind the scenes stuff of Sexy Beasts, please let me know, because it's frustrating sometimes being like, what is this? And why was this what you chose? I don't think that the people, like, who's being like, you know what, I really want to be an armadillo. Like, I just, I don't know.
Listen, at least be an armadillo. I don't know what a Sprite is to this day.
Me neither.
A soda.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Someone has chosen to be a Sprite on this show, and I did not take the any time to Google this at all. I just said, you know what, this is something I'm never going to know what it is, and I'm just going to move on with my life.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be able to enlighten you because I have no idea either. Yeah.
Can you veto the costume if you don't like it?
It's got to be in terms of the contract, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to be like, and I wondered, I was like, oh, do they like put the really attractive people in the especially like, so that you have like that really major reveal of like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. But it just became so one note after a while that it was like, everyone was like, oh my God, wow, you're not an armadillo. It's like, yeah, I know. I'm a human. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that there was like any level of like, this person is clearly like this person gets really ugly costume because they're very attractive. It's like, everyone's like all pretty attractive. Maybe not like, maybe they just got rejected for other. That was my take, is that like, these are like rejects from like other reality TV shows where there's like, you're quite, they didn't make hot the cut enough
for Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah. They're like, exactly, we're not putting you on The Bachelorette or Too Hot to Handle. But you know what? You will do fine. We'll show 5 minutes of you in a nice dress at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in my opinion, I think if you can veto a costume, your goal is to find a costume that has like built in innuendo. Right. Like, you want the costume that has like the old man balls hanging from your face, or like, you know, the yes,
because that just gives you something
to talk about. Right. Like, if you're the damn shark or something like that, you're like, oh, I have shark antlers on my head. And it's like, OK, sharks don't have antlers, but we understand what you're saying. But when the woman is talking about having balls hanging from it, I was like, that is very descriptive. Old man balls. And so it gives you something to joke about.
There have been numerous costumes between the first season and the first three episodes we watched here that had the dangly bits. And I agree with you, Chappelle, that like, it does give you something to like poke fun of and talk about, but I almost feel like, and this is one of the issues I have with the show, is that like, the costumes almost become distracting to the point where it's like all they're doing is talking about like how crazy it is that we like look like this. And it's like, how are you really making like a real connection with this person when like all the dialogue is just like, wow, isn't it wild that you have like a beard and you're a woman? Like, ooh, cause you're like an animal. And it's like, oh, look it. Like, I'm so ugly. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it gets really one note and that perhaps it just becomes too much of a distraction. And the point of the so-called point of the show is like really just getting to know like people on their personality. It's like, no, it's just becoming a bit between the two of you about like who looks sillier.
Yeah. It's why it works for some people and it doesn't work. Cause you know, like some people can just riff on that over and over again, but other people are able to look past the looks, you know, we're trying to get these, you know, these attractive people to be less shallow. And so even when they look really, really ugly, they still find a way to make it all about looks.
Jenny, do we know anything about the like production schedule? Is like an episode of Sexy Beasts like all filmed in like one afternoon?
I don't know if it's all one afternoon, but I guarantee you that both of these seasons were filmed in close succession, all in the same place. It all is being filmed in England. I really do think that they just hammered these out within like a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was all the same day, but like, I think that they did probably one episode. I think probably only spans the one day, right? Like, or 2 days maybe.
It's gotta be expensive to put the costume on the people. So like, I wasn't really paying attention to like whether it was day or whether it was night, but I wonder, could they have like the first thing, like they do that like first thing in the morning and then somebody gets eliminated and then they do both the dates and then they come back and then at nighttime do like the final thing. Like, cause I think multiple days to put the costume on is like very time consuming.
And there's like, it's not just like the head. A lot of them are like painted, like their chest and hands and arms are painted. No, that's a really good point. I'm sure that it's like, we know from like the Bachelor franchise that like some of those like first nights, like go straight into the early morning of the next day. So I wouldn't be surprised if like the speed date round is like 6 a.m.
Yeah. And it's like, 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm having a glass of Prosecco at like 7 a.m. Yeah,
it kills me when they pick up like, they're always like have like a glass of wine in their hands. Like, you can't drink that. Stop it.
They find a way.
Give these people a straw, Chappelle.
I mean, that would be how I would choose who would go on to the next round. Like, how can you navigate dropping your jaw and swallowing this champagne in this mask? You know, like if you can't do that, and I have to question some of your abilities later on. So
just
no, I think
the whole glass up the like hole, just right, like, throwing it back.
Super talented, and I think they should be commended for stuff like that. You know, I think also what must be very expensive is flying them all to London in the damn pandemic. Can we talk about this? Like, when was this filmed? Because from the last time I checked...
Well, that's where they filmed The Circle also.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should cancel The Circle. But anyway, I mean, just... I didn't say cancel. I meant, like, film it, like, here or something. I don't know. But look, I just feel like you flying all these people out across, like, overseas so they can go on, like, 2 dates. Like, literally a date and a half. Sometimes they don't even leave.
Not even.
They just like open a bottle while they're on the day. Like, hey, we're taking a double decker tour. Oh, we got champagne. It's like, you can't go to a restaurant. You can't go get something to eat. So it just seems like a lot of money and time, honestly, to fly these people out, have them change in and out of prosthesis or whatever, and then do, you know, these dates. It just, for me, it's weird. It's weird. I want to know like how this happens. I want to know like if there's anybody listening to this who's on the inside, you got to tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let Chappelle know.
Cause I do think it was early 2020 when a lot of this was filmed, right? Maybe. Yeah. And maybe they did separate between season 1 and season 2, but I'm like, I was like trying to like look at the weather and I'm like, okay, it still seems to be like, it's cool there. It's like fall or spring for sure. It's like not summer. Because I feel like in every date, there's like, it's windy and like someone's wearing a jacket. Like a lot of the dates have been like, it's cold weather. So I do really think that they did it all within like a very short amount of time.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about the season two premiere, which kicks off with Mick. Mick the Lizard.
Dragon.
Yeah, this is very important to the story because...
I mean, he looks like a lizard, so I can see where you're coming from, Rob, but he's... Listen, they need to tell us what these people are because I would wait to see what they were, like what the Chiron would say that they are, because I would be like, I don't know what that is. What is that? You're green. Mm-hmm. Are you a frog? Yeah. Are you
some sort of amphibian? It's like a Rorschach test for everybody who's watching.
It really
what
is.
What do you think this is?
Yeah. What does it look like to you?
The thing that stood out the most about Mick the Dragon is his horrible shirt. Like, you can say whatever you want about the prosthetic face, but that shirt was really making me uncomfortable. I couldn't tell where he was going, where he was coming from. It was like a party, but also like...
I forget his shirt now. I just hated it
because I can't hate on their appearance, right? But I can definitely hate on that shirt.
But you can hate on their costume. No?
Yeah. No, because they're
all...
They didn't even pick it out.
So
I just don't like the shirt. I feel like he chose the shirt and that's what makes it even worse. But whatever. That's just me nitpicking.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that they give them autonomy on their outfit where they're like, this is your way to show off your personality? Like,
I do think so, because there was a couple times where there was a lot of cleavage showing. It was prosthetic cleavage, but it was prominent. And so
that's unfair.
Yeah, well, one of these episodes, I think she said, like, oh, hopefully he liked my assets. And I was like, y'all didn't talk about assets. So I'm thinking she's talking about these green boobs that she has. Or, you know, it's just one of those things where if you wear a brown sweater dress, you're not going to pop the way somebody who has their tatas out will.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. It's like, and this has come up in the first season where there was like this guy that was just, you know, could not stop talking about being an ass man. So it's like, hey, that part is not concealed. So you're able to really, you know, survey the goods.
Yeah.
So here's the question is like, does this work better if you're the kind of person you're like, listen, I'm paying attention to the body. I don't really care what the face looks like at this point.
That's the ideal sexy beast selector.
Yeah.
If you know that everyone is hot, then why not narrow it down to something that you can take a look at and control, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that's how I would go in. I'm basically just all drawn to WAP, you know, wonderful ass personality. Mm-hmm. And so that's just me. But I mean, I know some people would look at the body and try to make their decision based on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not me, though.
Yeah. I'm looking at a mixed shirt, kind of like a Hawaiian shirt. You don't like that, Chappelle?
No, and then he doesn't have it buttoned up. So it looks like he's there for a party, but this is a date. And they like I said, these women are dressed up, you know? So like
the neckline, he's got the buttons open. Like I get the sense that maybe they pick out that shirt for him. Like the shirt goes with it because the dragon's neck goes down to that point in the shirt. So
And they're like, I really want to give the illusion that he's really a dragon. So let's go with something that goes a little bit further down so we can
a nice plunging neckline.
Plunging neckline. I think we should give credit to Sexy Beast. On the one thing that this show does do well is that the prosthetics and the costumes are incredible.
Okay.
Amazing.
I was having, you know, so many thoughts and feelings as someone who covered the show for, you know, a season. And I'm just like, who is this show for? What is this about? Because in other,
oh, you know, what in, it's about.
in other reality, like dating shows, like you would go on a show if you weren't really serious about like finding love on this show. You're at least like, hey, people are going to get to know me. I'm going to gain some followers, gain some face and name recognition. You go on this show, no one remembers you. Your face is shown for maybe 30 seconds, depending on where you end up in the process. So I really was thinking about it, and I was like, this is just some sort of inside thing to showcase some incredible costume directors and give them a portfolio. Like, there's no way that this show matters. Like, who is looking to be on this show?
Well, I know they don't come on this show necessarily to find love, but in these first two episodes, both of the women are like, you know, I think this might be love. I was like, are you on crack? Is it crack? What are you talking about? You had like a 15 minute date with somebody wearing a dragon costume. No, you're not in love, dummy. You know, wild. But I mean, I'm happy that this works out for certain people, and I'm sure they get second dates or, you know, maybe even some smushing goes on. But just to come out the gate with love, that L word is strong. I can't relate. So no, that was a lot for me. Maybe they are looking for love, Jeannie. Open up your mind, huh? How about that?
Stop being such a skeptic. I have this theory that the people on the show are plants, and
some of them are simulation. Yeah. Some of them are animals, and some of them are mythical creatures. Yeah,
the whole show is paid for by Tourism England or London.
Big and, tourism, yeah.
And because all of the dates take, obviously the whole show takes place in England, and they're. If I don't know if you guys caught this, but in every single date, they introduce us to someone who is like hosting them or is like facilitating a part of the date. And why do we find out their name? I don't know. It doesn't seem important to the rest of the show, but without fail, they always introduce us to some random person, whether it's the florist or it's like the guy paddling the boat. In you know, like previous season, there was like an artist or whatever. There's always someone. And I think that it is just the show is by tourism. And it's like, hey, do you want to feature your floral shop on Sexy Beasts? And it's all because like, why else are they showing this? It's like a 20 minute episode. They barely have time to get to know each other, but we still get time to learn about Judith, the florist. Mm-hmm. Like
Judith was a handsome lady. How dare you? I enjoyed her time on screen. She stole the show. But you're right. There's got to be a reason why we have to learn about these extra people. Like we learned about the gondola driver, the guy with the hat. For some reason, they had to point out his hat. I've been to London and I got really, really drunk at Stonehenge, but that was probably the highlight. So
drunk at Stonehenge? Why? What are you tailgating there?
Why not? Who's the question? This isn't. Hold on. First of all,
did you bring your own booze? Like,
please. Yeah. Yes, of course I did. Do you think they sell booze at Stonehenge?
I don't know. I've never been there. It's like rocks in a field, right?
They actually do have like a food court area at Stonehenge, but for the bus ride there, I definitely wanted to be intoxicated. But that's not the point. The point is that there's more to London than Harry Potter World and Stonehenge, and they're trying to get this point across to all the watchers of Sexy Beasts. So
I'm telling you, because I don't get the point otherwise. I was waiting to feel like they were doing something with this, and I'm sorry. No. I'm not there.
So I have a little bit of a different read on it that I think that the reason why that they like have to talk about like the gondola rower and stuff like that is because like there is no substance here. Like it's like that they basically like the show is like to make a cool trailer, which the trailer blew up and went viral and people are like, oh my God, I gotta watch this. But then, like, I think that it takes, like, probably 4 hours to put everybody in their costumes. Like, I think these dates are 10 minutes. And I think they just have no footage to use on this show. Like, that's why the episodes are 22 minutes. And it starts with the first 3 minutes are an intro to the show. It's like, yeah, I don't need an intro. I just watched 4 episodes of this. I know how it works. I didn't just jump randomly into season 2, episode 4. And then they also got to do, like, next time on. Like, the whole show is 22 minutes.
It was free service by the costume people that are like rising stars in their industry, and they offered their services for free to build a portfolio so that they could say that their work was featured on a Netflix show, put it on their CV. And that's why, like, no one asked for the show and no one is paying for it, because right. it's all being funded or free work to elevate the incredible work of the, you know, like the costume team that is creating these prosthetics. Mm-hmm. But like, there's nothing else going on. So yeah, I don't know. I really had high hopes for it when I saw that viral trailer. And it's just like, of course, no one's leaving these dates being like, you know, like, I am not invested enough in these couples to Google whether they're together still. Whereas in other shows, I will do that.
I would say 0 out of 12 of these couples are together.
They probably added each other on Instagram and that's it. Also, half the people like are not even from the same country as each other. And it's just like, you got to think about logistics at a certain point. It's hard to keep a relationship together even when you're in the same country.
Yeah, that's Netflix's bag, though. They love love international relationships. They bring back people. Like, I watched Too Hot to Handle. I was like, so you mean to tell me that you live in Boston and you're about to date this woman who lives in Singapore because y'all met on a beach trying not to have sex with each other?
Yep.
And y'all are in love now.
And good luck when then there's like a fifth wave and a travel ban and you can't see your significant other because of whatever version of COVID has come around. Like, it just doesn't seem logistically sound. Right. Yes.
It's not like sexy. a pipeline from these shows straight into 90 Day Fiance. You know, like you leave Sexy Beast and you're like, okay, we got to get married now. They're going to kick us out the country.
Then you've got hours and hours and hours of footage after that point. But it's just like, you're really not giving me anything to be invested on these people because you have like 15 minutes of footage.
All right, well, let's get back to Mick the Dragon. Mick the Dragon is going to meet three other creatures, the first of which is the hammerhead shark, who is Abby.
Mm-hmm. And she says...
Actually, you know, I believe like, that she might be the second. I believe we might meet Edith, the armadillo, first.
Ah, yes. The good armadillo yoga instructor, law student, right? From California. So she's doing all the things that Californians do, except she's dressed like an armadillo. And her whole thing is that, like, oh, she does yoga. She has breathing techniques. She has like, I'm a sexy armadillo. I'm a sexy armadillo. I'm a sexy armadillo. You know, self-actualization. I liked Edith at the, you know, at the jump. I mean, aside from her looking like an armadillo, she seemed like a nice person to pick. You know, later on, we'll see that there are some hangups in some of the conversation. But, you know, initially, she seemed like an okay, like, presentation. What did you think, Jenny?
Yeah, I mean, it was about what I expect at this point from the casting. It was just like, there's a yoga instructor from California, of course. I find the packages don't really tell me anything about them. Yeah. Like,
it's like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I'm not invested in your story. She said she's never had butterflies. It's like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Like, relatable content. You know,
I want to get invested in people, and I find that this show really fails to get me invested in these people.
Mm-hmm. She did hog a lot of airtime. Like, you get a lot of Edith just kind of hanging out and being like a yogi. And then Abby has nothing to say. She's like, I'm from England and I'm a shark. It's like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I literally had nothing to write about that. I was like, customer assistant from London, shark. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Like, that's all I have to say about you.
And then there's Angela, who is a meerkat.
Yeah. And again, this is something I needed the Chiron for. I was like, I don't know what sort of animal you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's dressed like Timon from The Lion King, and she wants to be a mermaid. A mermaid is her spirit animal, I guess. What a choice. But she's like, I swim a lot. And I'm very competitive. And I think throughout the episodes, I did notice that there's a level of, I think in season two, these people just want to win. Like, I don't know how long after season one they recorded this, but in season one, it didn't feel like it was such a competition. It felt like, oh, you know, we'll see what happens. But these women are coming in like, okay, I'm in competition with these two other women and I got to beat them. I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't ready for that.
What else are you there for at this point? Like, I don't know that anyone...
Love.
Are they?
Yes.
I don't know. Things. I don't know about that. But it's like at this point, you're just like, okay, I'm just trying to get as much screen time as possible so that like the time that my face is shown is longer so that maybe I can get a couple Instagram followers from this. Mm-hmm.
They should really publicize their social media at the bottom of the screen. You know, like, mm-hmm. I feel like if you're doing this to, you're an actress or something like that, then why not post your social media at this point? Because it's like, my name is Angela Catherine. It's like, okay, so are thousands of other people. But like, tell
me. I'll never find you.
I'll never find you. And she seemed like a great person. So, you know.
Did you feel like you had a connection, Chappelle? You still thinking about Angela Catherine?
She was amazing. Can we just say?
She was great.
She was amazing. I was just like, oh, this is different. Yeah, sign me up for the show of Angela Catherine's underneath the meerkat mask.
Mm-hmm. What would you be, Chappelle? You got the choice, because we don't know if we get the choice.
I think we talked about this when we talked about it when we were on. Because I was torn, because a part of me would like to be a furry, but another part of me is really into the My Little Pony thing, you know? The brony, right? So I'm like, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it, you know? Yeah. So I'm a brony from here, you know?
I'd love to see you with a nice snout.
Mm-hmm. A snout?
Yeah.
Do bronies have snouts? I guess horses have snouts.
It's a pony. It's got a little snout.
Yeah. Like, I would be tail. Like,
so you would be a horse.
My Little Pony.
You'd be a pony.
It's a brony. Don't be disrespectful, because the listeners are listening to this and they are getting offended.
Yeah.
Don't be a horse.
Now.
Yeah. I'm more.
Yeah. Can you explain the brony thing? Because I feel like that I didn't know the brony like actually wants to be the pony.
Oh, furries and bronies are not the same thing. They're not. But like, they're kind of similar. So a brony is just like, they also wear the animal outfit, but it's specific to My Little Pony. Why am I doing this? I don't know anything about bronies. I've never heard of this before in my life, and I've never participated in anything like this.
It's just a guy that likes My Little Pony.
Yeah.
I mean, they do dress like it, and about half of the furries consider bronies like a subgroup. Affirm
them. So it's like a subculture. So,
let me see. Yeah. Let me about 28%.
Dress?
Oh my gosh. Rob, please.
I'm just here to mess up Rob's search history.
No, I did incognito. I mean,
okay.
They're called bronies, in case you don't know. A brony is a man who likes My Little Pony so much that he might feel compelled to dress up as one and attend a convention. Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
It's just cosplay. It's just cosplay.
Yeah,
meet the men who dress up as My Little Pony.
Yeah, I'm not saying I do cosplay as a brony, as a My Little Pony. I'm just saying if I were to go on a show like this, I would want to pick something that I felt strongly about. Mm-hmm. And that could be My Little Pony.
Okay.
How do you drink? So you're so impressed by the people that can drink the like champagne easily, which is my favorite part of the show, actually, is watching them try to drink or eat, because it's difficult for everyone. So how do you do that with the pony snout? You just stick it in the hole and just...
I will not... No. Maybe they have like a straw situation. Shut up, Jenny.
I don't know.
I've never done this again. This is not my ministry.
Trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube.
You can't put it back in the tube. That's what they tell me. Listen. Mm-hmm. So you just swallow it the best you can.
Oh, no.
The drink, yes, Rob.
Okay. I think you're thinking about the toothpaste. Course. Yeah.
I thought you thought that too. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what we were all thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jenny, get out.
Okay. We find out that Mick has a big plan.
Pause. I gotta reveal my furrydom, but y'all ain't gotta reveal y'all's. Oh no, what animal are y'all about to be, Rob?
Do I get to pick?
Yeah, you get to pick.
In this scenario, you do. Unless, but it's gotta be reasonable within the like this. You can't just be like something beautiful.
Something beautiful. Right.
I mean, it's got to be like an animal or like something or ugly. Because sometimes it's not even an animal. It's like
a sprite.
I wouldn't want to be like a giant bug.
No.
I mean, the fly did have eye boobs.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you're going to be a cockroach. Like, okay, listen, well.
If I was the fly
you're
and I had the
Mucinex
eye boobs
thing.
And they're like more interested in my eye boobs than my actual boobs. Then I like, we have a problem here.
I mean, never mind.
I just feel like we'll get there eventually. You don't want to distract too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my eyes are up here.
Yeah.
No, my eyes are, also, my eyes are down here.
My eyes are down there. Yeah. Right, exactly. So y'all haven't picked an animal, and I'm not. We're not movie going until you do. Yeah. So I don't know what to tell you.
I'll give Rob time to think. I'm obviously Jenny? Doing the duck, but I'm doing the duck. Rubber duck.
Rubber duck.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Yeah. So
it's a big deal. Which
I think would be really
like.
Cute. Like, it would
How are you gonna drink with that bill?
I'm gonna figure it out. That's gonna be my origin story. Is how I managed to get the alcoholic liquid into my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
So I'm a brony, and Jenny is a rubber duck, like Big Brother. Rob, what are you?
I don't really have a spirit animal.
Yeah, we kind of move away from that anyway. Yeah. You know, which is fine.
It doesn't even have to be an animal you relate to. What do you just think that you would like? What would be fun to do?
Oh, none of it. It'd be fun to not go.
You don't want to propel your
like
career?
A parrot or something like that.
Like parrot.
Yeah.
You do talk. You know, that's like your thing.
Yeah, that's good. I think that, because that's the other thing is like, I don't understand why they don't try to like cater it to like their personalities. Mm-hmm. Like it seems so random.
Bring in,
it seems like
big
they give them
Yago energy.
And they just like pick something out and they're like, oh, I guess I'm gonna be a mummy. Like
Yeah.
I'm a platypus. Even,
another bill.
I don't think anybody wants that.
No.
Yeah, there's another bill. But yeah, I think Angela Catherine saying that she wanted to be a mermaid and she loves swimming. This would have been a perfect time to make her like a shark or
Angela Catherine
or
also
like
said that she believes mermaids are real.
Well, she said she'd read some things. I can't speak to that, but
I don't think I've ever heard that other than like sailors from pirate ships from 100 years ago. Like, are there that many mermaid truthers out there?
Honestly, that woman could tell me anything and I'd take it. She's beautiful.
I mean, I will take the mermaids are real conspiracy over most of the other ones that circulate these days.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't harm anyone.
Exactly.
Mick, who is lower thirded as a tour guide from Washington, D.C., tells one of the women his dream is that he's looking for thespians to open up a modern day Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
For what?
I'm not a musical theater guy, so I didn't know what any of this meant. I was like, this is that movie with Christina Aguilera singing in the song.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think she's in the movie, is she?
No, she's in the song.
They did the song.
Yeah. But that's all I got. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Kim, the Queen Bee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just feel
Maya.
Yeah, we're gonna name them all Pink. You know,
Celia is also there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's funny because he uses Nicole Kidman. And he's like, is she in the song?
Sang on the song.
She's in the movie.
No, but she's in the movie.
with Queen Latifah. No, that's a different movie. No. Yeah. But I think he even uses this as like one of his like selling points to get to know Angela Catherine. He's like, what's your favorite musical? And they both bond over Moulin Rouge and Shakespeare. And she's like, what? This has never happened to me. Dates don't happen like this. Do I have to start watching musical theater to find Angela Catherine?
No.
So I believe it's Abby who asks the prompt. If you had one dip for your nuggets for the rest of your life, what would it be? And it's a shame Jenny the Puya isn't here with us for the McNugget
talk.
The
role he was born to play.
Yes.
I know.
But before we answer the question, then I feel like there's a lot of these like card game type prompts that people just throw up. Do you think that they allowed the contestants to just spitball these, or is there a producer off screen that's like, all right, now ask if you could have the top of your body be a fish or the bottom of your body be a fish, what would it be?
I mean, I feel like they have to give them something to work with because, again, otherwise, all they're going to do is work off of what they're looking at each other.
Who did you
There's
talk to?
There's nothing else
casting.
To talk about.
Yeah. Well, how did you get here? Why are you doing this? Like, no.
Yeah. Like, you come here often to this fake bar in London in the middle of a pandemic. I will say that I think I agree with you, Rob, that they probably have some sort of ideas of like conversation starters or icebreakers. But I think that Edith the armadillo is, or sorry, the shark. It was the shark that was asking about the nuggets. This woman was very fixated on McDonald's because when she met Mick, she thought his name was Nick at first. And then he said, no, Mick, like Jagger. And she goes, oh, like McDonald's.
And she was stuck on his nuggets ever since.
Yeah, yes. That's what I'm saying. From that moment on. She's fixated on McDonald's nuggets. You could tell that that's her negative choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just from the way she was going with it. Yeah. So I do think that that was authentic from her.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few of these you can tell they're icebreakers, but that one just sounded very British. Like, oh, if you had one dip for your nuggets. I was like, yes. Oh my God.
All right.
Like, I had to look up and be like, oh my God, well, what for your what? And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well,
but yeah, hers was ketchup.
So basic.
Which is
basic.
Trash.
So basic. So Jenny, basic. What's yours? So basic.
I like a creamy sriracha.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's like a dip that Wendy's has. It's very good. It's like a little spicy, but like creamy still. Mm-hmm. Any sort of like, or like a buffalo or like any sort of buffalo ranch area thing. I want it to be a little spicy.
Chappelle, what about you?
Sometimes I'll do like a barbecue sauce or something, but sometimes I have to venture into the world of my problematic fave. Chick-fil-A. I don't like to admit that I go to Chick-fil-A, but sometimes I do. But I don't go to buy stuff. I go because their sauces are plenty. And they have the honey roasted barbecue sauce that they give you with like, it is so good, but you have to ask for it. Like if you ask for regular barbecue sauce, they'll give you the regular barbecue sauce. But ask for the honey roasted barbecue sauce. It comes in like a little ketchup packet. It's a game changer.
It's a secret sauce that you can't get. Yeah.
I think it's more like a salad dressing. And so they don't give it out with the nuggets and the sandwich. But if you ask for it, they'll give it to you. And it is different. Okay. They do some special. I mean, that's where all the toxicity comes out is in the flavors in that honey roasted barbecue sauce. So, I try not to venture there. But when I do, I steal honey roasted barbecue sauce.
So, yeah, I think I'd go barbecue. I didn't know about honey roasted barbecue.
It's a thing.
I feel like that. I don't know. Does anybody do this? Like, I feel like that when I was younger, I feel like that not even honey mustard. It was before they even thought of honey mustard. They just get honey.
Oh, that's the thing. I've seen like kids get like McNugget Happy Meals and then they have like honey with it.
Yeah.
Honey is like a legitimate. I'm pretty sure when Puya and Phil did their like sauces ranking for nuggets during the Great Nugget Challenge or whatever the hell it was on. They ranked honey in there. Honey is like a legitimate nugget dipper. Honey mustard is great, though.
It goes with mustard, it goes with barbecue. So,
McDonald's sweet and sour sauce is underrated. Mm-hmm. Not every sweet and sour sauce, but McDonald's specifically.
I used to mess around with it, but not anymore.
back in the dirty days.
Do you see how great this show is, guys? Like,
it's a conversation
that we
starter.
Are just here.
Yeah,
talking about nugget sauces.
Yeah. All right. So Mick is going to get rid of Edith first.
Yeah.
Edith was the yoga armadillo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, okay, let's bring her out. And she's a very attractive woman. It's like, oh my God. Can't believe it.
Most of them will say this.
And I eliminated somebody and it was an attractive woman.
It was a sexy beast. Yeah. She was a sexy beast. Who knew?
Let me tell you, it's all like that.
Stay tuned for six more episodes.
Annoying though? Sorry, Chappelle. The announcer has to every time like, whoa, look at this hottie who's just got rejected. Like okay,
Rob,
yeah, we get it.
I was wondering what you thought of the narrator or whatever you call him. Do you know who Rob Delaney is?
The name is familiar. Yes. Let me
he's like a comedian, but he's like, yeah, that's who it is. I thought he was funny. I followed him on Twitter. Like I already followed him on Twitter from like years ago. And I just don't think that he's good on the show. Like he makes some of the obvious jokes that you're thinking, but like the delivery of it seems so produced that it bothers me.
To be fair, it's like every other Netflix show because The Circle and Too Hot to Handle is doing this exact same formula where something happens on the screen and the narrator's just got the whole show on their back and they're just dragging it through the mud and the muck and the slime of all these innuendo and double entendres. So he's doing the necessary work for what Netflix tries to bring to their dating shows.
I don't like, because it's like, let me have the thought.
Right.
Let me tweet about this. Like, don't steal all of my material here, sir. Like, leave something for me to gather on these, like, crumbs you've left me.
Right. No, we're, like, scraping the bottom of the barrel. I have to talk about eye boobs because he just barely touched it. I'm like, well, it's the only thing that he got, like, kind of and left out there for me to get.
Rob Delaney already made that joke. That's the thing. Exactly. It's like, okay, I'm not okay. Maybe they do think that the audience is stupid if you're watching this show, but I just feel like it's like you don't have to make the jokes on every single thing, guy. Like, you can leave some dead air.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Let's talk about it. Let us discuss it. You know.
All right, Mick goes to like make flowers with Abby. I don't really understand what they were doing here.
Part of the tourism initiative, Rob.
Yeah. The agenda is what it is. So after they do every episode starts with like the initial speed dating round, and then he eliminates one. Well, the person eliminates whoever, and then they go on to like who's going to get the second date. And so the second date is often two different dates for each person. And I find that sometimes their second date sucks because of the actual date that you get. Right. So make this flower bouquet date. I just don't see that working out for me. That's just not something that I have a lot of strong allergies. Like, this just wouldn't have been this. I'm getting eliminated here every time. I just don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is like part of the show. It's like, you know, if you got a date where you're like, you know, the situation allows for you to get to know each other like a little bit better, or like there's like a large portion of the date where there's no distractions and you guys just talk more, like those people end up making better connections. And just the dates are not all created equally, just like the costumes. And, you know, maybe this show is just trying to reinforce the idea that life is not fair.
Life is not fair.
You know, sometimes you get the really ugly costume and you get the really bad date.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you have a wonderful ass personality.
Mm-hmm.
A WAP.
I don't know.
Sometimes your WAP can't carry that much weight.
Exactly.
You heard it here first.
That's right. That's right.
Did you guys notice, sorry to move forward, but on the I don't know if this is the same. Okay. On the rock climbing date or the bouldering date, which I'd never heard that term. I guess that's a British term. After they do the rock climbing and they have their wine, which I love that every date does have some sort of like wine component. That really speaks to me. It's like, if I have to do something boring, like I hope that there's wine after. The wine was so full. Like I've never seen a wine pour like that. Yeah. The glasses were overflowed.
The way these people could get it in their mouth, it has to be so full that they could just
lap it up like a cat. Yeah, that's probably, I'm thinking that might be the strategy. So that's how you do that with your snout, Chappelle.
Just stick your whole face in it. Yeah. And fill it up.
Like, I have the shot open of them at like sitting in the restaurant. Like, you can't drink with these things on.
Yeah, and they know that it's a hindrance, but I think that's part of the appeal of the show. It's like, let's see how they navigate this part, you know. But yeah, ultimately just pour it all over your face, you know.
Why can't they just have straws?
Angela Catherine has a bad fall at the rock climbing.
They did not have harnesses.
Yeah.
I was taken aback.
Especially when they've got like prosthetics covering their face.
She could barely
they could have
see.
Ruined something.
She's gonna fall and bust her ass open. You know, like, you don't, like, we have to have a harness. But it's just a man just kind of hanging out down there, like, no, I got you. It's fine. Like, no,
maybe that's
fine.
The difference between rock climbing and bouldering.
Oh.
Because Warren, because of course we learned who all of these people are. So we now know a lot about Warren's bouldering gym. And, you know, I think that might just be the difference is like, this is like extreme rock climbing where you don't have the safety harness, but they don't even go up that far.
It's still too high for me to be up there without a harness. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Once I fall, I'm brittle. I am going to break.
And well, they're lucky they don't break part of their costume. Like, I have to feel like some of the extremities from their face are like paper mache or something.
Yeah, like it's just going to start falling off at some point. Yeah.
You fall on it.
So it comes down to making a decision for Mick, and he's going to pick Angela Catherine.
Yeah, and she is amazing. I mean, just, oh my gosh. Like, I think, you know how they have to act like, oh, well, I didn't pick this person because the personality just wasn't the same, or, you know, like, we just didn't mesh well. And so I'm happy with my decision. If I see Angela Catherine walking out there and I pick somebody else, I'm like, oh my God, just fall on the floor. Like, please, I made a mistake. Cut the cameras.
But here's the thing. It's like, you're probably, nothing is coming of it with the person you picked anyway. So you just hit that person up after anyway.
Right.
It's not like you're contractually like obligated to like date that one person you chose.
Yeah. Would you be open to dating somebody after they cut you on a dating show, like publicly?
Probably. Would,
yeah. Jenny's like, you could call.
I have no shame. I don't know.
Mick and Angela Catherine also then get to some makeout time after the reveal.
It's always interesting when there is actual physical chemistry, because 9 times out of 10 there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it's like they haven't even spent enough time to fall in love with each other's personalities. They're literally just seeing each other's faces for the first time. Maybe they're just drunk. They've had a lot of champagne.
They haven't had Prosecco. Any.
They missed the whole thing. I don't know. They might have gone through.
Yeah.
I will say, I thought Mick was kind of hot.
I was going to ask you, what do you think about Daddy Mick?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm triggered. Oh my gosh.
Zaddy
not
Mick.
That.
Zaddy Zick.
Rob, why? That was your friend.
Yeah, Jenny, what did you think about
Zaddy Zick? Okay, I wrote in my notes, full disclosure, I wrote, Mick is kind of hot.
Okay.
Okay.
And another that's
sexy
it.
Beast heard from.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of hot. Because Zaddy honestly, Mick. Sometimes
Zaddy I'm Zick.
I did like that these two, the kiss did not seem forced.
Yeah.
She's in love with him. She said she was falling in love with
that's
him.
That's a little much.
It's one day.
Maybe this not even energy. A whole day, Rob. Right.
It was roughly two and a half
two
hours.
Of these in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. How old was Mick? Do we get that?
We don't get their ages.
Yeah.
No.
Which I feel like I would like to know. I care just as much about their ages, like where they're from, because apparently that doesn't matter. Like,
nothing matters.
None of it matters. It's all simulation.
Yeah.
It's a tourism commercial, okay?
I do like that they were both blown away with how attractive that they were. You know, like, he's looking at her like, what the hell? How did I manage to do this? Like, what is it? Am I being punked, Ashton? Am I being punked? Like, he's lost it. And she's doing the same thing. She's like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. You're gorgeous. Your eyes, your soul, your spirit. I'm like, when is it my turn, Lord? Like, when is it my turn? I don't want to fall in love like that with somebody, but I want some people to fall in love with me like that. You know?
I appreciated that Mick acknowledged that she was out of his league. That's like like part of like the fun of this show is where it's just like, oh, well, I'm glad that you got at least a look at my personality before you got a look at me, because now you kind of like me.
It's like on Survivor when, you know, somebody buys like the covered item at the auction and it's like, Jeff's like, all right, let's look at this. Like, oh, it's a burger and fries. Like, oh yeah.
It's like, wow, it could have been worse. Like, it could have been Baloo or whatever it's called, you know? So
Like, I'll take it. It's great.
Wasn't like the warm tap water.
Right, exactly. Okay. That's exactly what this is.
One thing I loved about this group of people was like, back to Abby in the shark costume. The way the mouth was like created on the shark costume, she just had like the most amazing expression on her face the entire time. She just, like, looks like she was in distress constantly. Like, it was so great. But again, it's like, I don't know. I think like when you're looking at a face that like looks in distress, it's like, are you able to get past that? Like, can you really open yourself up to that person? I don't know.
I agree. I could not stop staring at her, because you remember that movie Made in Manhattan where J-Lo is dating Lord Voldemort? Like, that will always drive me crazy because I'm so used to him having not a nose. And so now when I see it on, like, TBS, I'm like, why are you? Stop it. That's Lord Voldemort. He doesn't have a nose. And so looking at this Abby in the shark costume, I was like, she looks like Voldemort and I can't unsee it.
Do you looks think like that,
Ralph Fiennes or whatever his name is.
If he had chosen her, do you think that he's able to see past that, like, grimace?
No.
After he's like, no. I've gotten used to seeing that those eyes combined with that grimace, that like you that's how I see your Voldemort. Face forever.
Mm-hmm. It's just not appropriate. She looked like Lord Voldemort, and I'll never unsee it.
Okay, let's talk about the second episode that we have of the Sexy Beasts, and then we're going to talk about the Mummy, Ibukun,
like Ibukun, Pikachu,
like Pikachu. Somehow. I was like, wait, hold on, how is it like Pikachu?
It has letters as well,
but you pronounce the. And then I feel like people from there on out were calling him Ibuku.
Like
because he said Pikachu.
Yeah.
And then they're so I don't pronounce the N. It was very confusing. I was like, maybe that's not like the right sample to give them because they're just going to think that it rhymes with Pikachu.
Okay. Well,
and he's a smarty pants. He's from Harvard, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's that. It's like la-di-da.
Yeah. He's going
I thought we were going to get some drama on this one. I'm not going to lie. I really thought that the fireworks were going to happen here.
Well, when you say fireworks, what do you mean?
Because he starts off saying, I'm going to be roasting my dates. Mm-hmm. He's like, if I had a love language, it would be roasting. And then we immediately meet Danny, the fly, who's the sales consultant from England. And one of her things was she just wants someone nice. And she's like, don't be a dick. Don't be rude. And I think that with roasting, sometimes it doesn't land and you sound like a dick and you could be rude. And so as soon as they introduced me and I felt like one of the previews made it look like there was some sort of drama. And so I was like, immediately I was like, oh, the roasting is not going to land because she doesn't want a dick. And that's what I was thinking was like, this is not going to be compatible. He's going to roast her and she's not going to take it well.
Mm-hmm.
That was my shot that I was calling here. And apparently I asked for too much.
Well, on the flip side, you have Jada, the sprite, ? who not only has a WAP, but her love language is actually roasting as well.
Yes.
So it's like on the one hand, you have an opposite. Like, now you have a match made in heaven.
Yeah, they bonded over it.
Yeah, we like to talk trash about each other. You don't like that's not your love language. I'm more in the world of like Danny, where don't get me wrong, I like a good roasting, but you know, I thought love languages was like, you know, languages of love. I didn't know it was like acts of service and things of that nature until I started to listen to more scholarly podcasts because I thought love language was that nasty stuff that you talk about.
isn't that what one of these ladies,
Danny said?
Yeah,
I was like, me too, like I feel seen, like I was this whole time I thought acts of service was acts of service, you know, but apparently it's not. I was like, oh, you like gifts? Baby.
Yeah, I like gifts. I like acts of service.
It works. You better talk me through it.
Act of service as a gift.
As a gift. Yes. Oh, man. I'm just making sure that I was the only one.
Yeah. I couldn't take it any longer. I had to look up what a sprite was because it was really bugging me. So it's basically like a
lemon lime.
It's like mythology. It's like a fairy. It's essentially like a fairy type being in mythology.
Yeah.
Did it look like the sprite that we have in front of us on this episode? Because this looked like the Grinch.
I literally put, she looks like the Grinch.
Yeah. I think they said she looks like what? The Grinch meets It? Is that what they compared it to? But,
yeah.
But I think she looks more like the Grinch meets Harley Quinn.
I was going to say it had like Joker mouth type thing. Mm-hmm. Like the sides of the mouth looked very like Joker-esque. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Harley Quinn works too. Oh, because she had the pigtails, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. And then she had purple hair. So I thought maybe she has purple hair in real life, but it was just
no
sprite design.
Yeah.
And so Thank you for looking that up, because I would have gone off of this podcast never knowing.
We also have a third person who will not last for long. Oksana, the goat. She does say she looks like the greatest of all time. So I like that, but her stay will be short-lived.
Here's the thing. She sets herself up with the question about the most embarrassing story.
Yes.
And she kind of did herself dirty because Ibukun did not play along on this at all. She tells a story about like she ate too much at a wedding and was like farting in the Uber with her date or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I was 5 and I was bad at riding my bike. It was like, what?
She might as well just packed it up and left at that point. Like, okay, it's over. I know. I get it. I lost, you know?
But wasn't it her idea to ask about the most embarrassing, or was it him?
It was her.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe when you're only going to get like 20 minutes with this person, that's not really the icebreaker you thought it could be.
This was the exchange.
What would you say is your most embarrassing story?
One of my family members was getting married and I brought a date with me. You know, weddings, you're eating the whole time.
Yeah.
So I think my stomach was just super upset. And the Uber ride home, I started, you know, just lay some gassy bonds, you know?
In your sleep, you farted.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wait, did she say anything about being asleep?
No, he did, and that's where I was like...
There must have been like 5 minutes cut out of the story.
I thought it was in the Uber. I thought she said in the Uber home.
Yeah, that's what she did say. But then later on in this episode, we found out that like this story must have been triggering for him, because then he gets asked about like his worst moment, and he had date who knocked his drink over and then farted very loud, and he's like, that this man does not like dates that fart, that is a deal breaker for him.
This is one of those guys that's like, girls don't poop. Like, that is like, he fully subscribes.
He doesn't like bees, and he doesn't like if a girl farts.
I have no comment.
He's traumatized by the farts.
I mean, some farts are traumatic, I will say.
You said it was loud and proud.
And also, just for the record, though, just to go back to this, that's very rude in an Uber, right?
Gassy bombs is what you call them.
Gassy bombs in an Uber. I mean, what are you going to do? You better leave a good tip for the Uber driver.
Crack the window. We don't know the details. Like, maybe she thought it was going to, you know, not have an impact. She thought it was going to be just
What's your policy on gassy bombs?
Gassy bombs.
Mm-hmm. But perhaps this is the kind of thing that you need to get out of
the way.
Should
you only do that in an Uber XL?
He's like, there's enough space.
You gotta air it out.
Yeah.
Jenny, you and I once did
a
podcast.
Don't do it in a shared ride Uber.
The carpool. Yeah. Jenny, you and I once did a podcast many, many moons ago where you shared your embarrassing story where... You ended up with a bloody sock. Do you remember that story?
You absolutely did. I do remember that.
Like, and Kurt Schilling?
I was like...
Rob made that same joke. Yeah.
we're bowling out all of the greatest hits tonight, guys.
I was like, the Kurt Schilling?
But I'm saying, that's like a legitimate, like, embarrassing story. And
would you tell it on a date is the question, Jenny.
I mean, probably, because I don't have any shame. Like, I don't know. I told on a fucking podcast. Sorry for the swearing. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
this podcast, Jenny, please.
Listen, throw the explicit E on it. It's fine.
I tell him to do it every week and he just doesn't do it.
That's fine. You know, a little Easter egg for somebody. But I'm just saying, like, he sucks for this. He totally he sets her up to see, like, oh, I want to, I don't know, maybe he just, he has this fart thing and he's like, oh, I hope I don't have another farter on my hand. Because
this is a gassy one.
He's thinking about that girl on the date that was loud and proud. And he's like, okay, I'm going to ask her. And then he's like, yeah. And that ultimately was her demise. And he's like, oh, I was embarrassing riding my bike as a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm. She was upset also. That wasn't an embarrassing story.
Yeah, she was right to be. Because imagine just being like, yeah, I was like drunkenly farting in an Uber with like a person I just brought on a date. And then he gives you that and you're just like, well, I guess I'll leave. Because clearly we're not having the same conversation.
Y'all literally just did that to me. Chappelle, which furry would you be? Oh, I open up about my furry and you're like, okay, moving on. No, everyone is sharing the furry story and it better be good. So I get it. This poor lady, she was taken advantage of. Also, you know, I relate to her because she says her philosophy of life is that if you're not having fun, you're not having fun. If you're not happy, you're not happy.
Mm-hmm. How can you fill someone else's cup if you're not overflowing?
Maybe you got to overflow. That's
like the wine on the dates on Sexy Beasts.
Listen, exactly. She was overflowing.
That's how you know they're having fun.
Not overflowing with gas.
She was overflowing with gas. She had to let it go.
Fill some other cups up.
Yeah.
Run it over. The cup run it over. With gas, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Later on, I got peed in some soup. I'm just saying. There's been more embarrassing stories on this.
All right. We got two dates. We have a gondola date, bonding with over Mateo. Roasting. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We get to meet Mateo and his crotch. And make sure to point out that we're going to get a lot of crotch from Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then also he loses the pole.
Yeah, and he loses his pole. It just gets stuck up, just standing there, erect, if you would. And Jada is kind of, she's uncomfortable because she's like, first of all, you could tell she didn't want to be in the boat anyway. But mummy guy is like smooth talking her. Ibukun has her like wrapped around her finger, like his finger. Like every time she says something, he's just like, oh yeah, baby, because da-da-da-da. And she's like, oh my gosh, what heavens. This was the most obvious selection for me because it just seemed like everything that they did was just fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they tried to make like what I call grandma gate into a thing where it was like, oh, like what's the one thing that we might think was like a rough part of the date where it's like, she was like, oh, I like, you know, making brownies and like having wine with my girlfriends. And he's like, oh, you're like a grandma? She's like, excuse me, I'm not a grandma. And then she has like a little confessional about it. It's like, this is not a thing. But they really tried to make us think that like she was offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
No, she liked that he was roasting. Remember, that's their love language. They were just connecting on a love language level. That was their act of service.
Okay. So then we also have our mini golf date with The Fly, who we probably have not talked enough about, the Fly, Danny.
Well, we've talked a lot about her
eye boobs.
Yeah, her eye boobs and her old man ball bag, as she called it. That's her words, okay?
Yeah, yeah. I was not making a reference to an old man sack on her face earlier just because. Mm-hmm. Like, it was definitely referenced in the show, and I was just citing it.
And by the way, let me help out Ibukun, that I think his most embarrassing moment is when the bee found him on the mini golf course.
Yeah, because when I tell you I would rather get stung by the bee and die than to act like he was acting on that golf course on a date. Oh, like, sir, I don't have like a lot of phobias, so I don't know what the thing is on a date that could show up and make me completely just act like he was acting. Like, sir, have some dignity. He was just like, oh my God, a bee. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Like, I don't do bees.
He doesn't do farts and bees. Do you think that there's like something about like the buzzing noise that's like a little too like much like a fart to him? And he's like, oh God, the bees are farting.
Yeah, it's one of those moments.
Testing it out.
It's not really a buzz. It's like, but no, he didn't have to worry about that with one of that gassy bombs don't sound like no bee buzz. That's a different type of bomb. He could have kept her around if that was the case. But yeah, him acting like this on this mini golf course was wild. Especially because Danny seemed like a good time. Like, she's like, grab my ear boobs, my eye boobs, grab them, touch them, squeeze them, you know, touch my ball face. You know, she was doing the most. And so for him to be occupied by the bee, I was like, you're losing some ground here. Like, I feel like if it was the other way around, he would have gotten cut on this date.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, I don't like bees that much either, but, you know, have some composure, my guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was just, like, unfazed by it, which was like...
Because it's just a bee!
Well, she's a fly.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's like she's just respecting the ecosystem. Yeah.
So ultimately, we get our reveal here. And again, no drama. Another thing like that's where they're really trying to just like stretch out these episodes, like they go like slow motion on the people mm-hmm. like walking out. It's like, oh my God, like I've never seen a woman before that should walk out. It's just like, you know, that 5 minutes of the episode is just like people walking.
I hate the score as well. It's so dramatic and like, oh, now it's suddenly a fantasy princess show. And it's like, this is, what is the story here? Are these funny people that dress up like, and we're having like sexual innuendos, or is this like magical princess, find your prince, like show?
Frog and the Prince.
It just feels so corny.
But you know, to be fair, about 14 minutes of every episode of Too Hot to Handle is slow motion. Like, it's literally a solid 14-minute montage in every episode of them just laying on the beach, like throwing their hair around for no apparent reason, like with no type of storyline at all. So this is Netflix's formula. And they do it on The Circle too.
Can I give you one other thing I don't like with Sexy Beasts? That they do an intro. And they do an intro with like the reveal, like all the people that you're going to see. So it's like, oh yeah, it's probably that guy from the credits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of the things that stood out to me about this actual reveal here, though, was that she used the L word again. Why is she in love with this man? He's afraid of bees. Can you really love
someone who's afraid of bees? The bee thing happened when she wasn't around.
See, that's why you can't fall in love with people after a 20-minute date. Mm-hmm. You have to.
I honestly think that these are, you know, peak pandemic times, and they're like, I might not have the opportunity to go on another date ever again.
So you think that maybe Sexy Beasts is bigger than what it's like, that people wear masks and you don't know how attractive they are when they wear a mask, and you have to get to really know them, and then they take their mask off and then you get to say, and that's basically what Sexy Beasts is. That dating during a pandemic.
Right. Because you only have the eyes to express.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to check out the donk. If you're an ass man, some of these people
dating during the pandemic has done some favors for me. You know, I have a very strong upper face. My lower face leaves a lot to the imagination. Yeah, lower face leaves a lot to the imagination. But like from like eyebrows up, like I'm giving. Okay, and so like I go to the grocery store and I'm trying to get in and out, but you know, so are other people. Hey,
so, I'm trying to get in and out.
Yeah. Oh boy, I never even thought about.
Yeah, you kind of get
like a better upper face. I mean, like what if you have a better bottom face? You just like wear a blindfold? Is that like
you got to struggle. If you got a better bottom face, you got to smile more. You got to give like dimple. Yeah. You got to give your angles. But if you got a strong upper face, the pandemic is perfect for you. Get you the N95 mask personally is my favorite. When I go to like out into the wilderness, like if I plan on coming back with something, I try to wear the N95.
There's a legitimate mask that you choose to like make you look better.
Duh. Like, excuse me? Don't we all? Like, if you're doing like these,
what is it about the N95?
Yeah, why?
It shows off the perfect amount of upper face for me. Honestly, they keep making this podcast about me. It's not about me. It's about the
Can
sexy
you put
beast.
It on now? Can we see?
Oh, Rob, please.
Of course you have an N95.
Close. I keep it on hand.
Keep
the
thing on you.
Okay. Keep that thing on me. No, I do not keep that thing on me during the podcast, Rob.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep it nearby. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's talk about our third episode of The Sexy Beasts. And this time, we're going to get our first episode in season two where it's ladies' choice.
It's tiger's choice.
Devin.
Yeah. Wow.
Here comes Devin. And Devin says she likes nerdy looking guys. Heyo.
I mean, did she say she like nerdy? She likes nerdy looking guys, or that's just what she ends up going for?
I thought she said that's what she likes.
Yeah, she likes nerdy looking guys, and she likes guys who wants to like to travel.
She said her look is polarizing.
Yeah, and so I was waiting on her.
I didn't think it was either.
I was waiting on her to take off the mask, and we get something, you know, unorthodox, maybe like a lot of tattoos or like crazy color hair. And nope. Just
I was expecting something that people have like a strong opinion about, like tattoos or like you said, a certain color hair or like piercings or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't know, just something unexpected. And I didn't find her to be polarizing at all. Her personality was very like intense.
Yeah. She's in your face. You know, so
I don't know.
So she was the tiger that you would think that there would have been more cross promotion with Joe Exotic and the return of Tiger King.
No.
Cool cats and kittens.
Devin the tiger.
Yeah, could they have done someone dressed up as Joe Exotic? Is that scary enough?
No, Bryce Isaiah's costume from last year where he's like wearing the bodysuit.
Yeah. Well, I think he was the tiger, right?
Yes.
I thought Wendell was Joe Exotic.
I was just talking about Bryce in that. Anytime I can bring up Bryce in that outfit, I have to. I'm sorry. It was just like, it was no outfit. Like, Bryce was wearing body paint. He was nude. Like, I don't know if y'all noticed, but there were dangly bits.
Oh my God.
That's a conversation starter, Chappelle.
It is.
It really is. Like, oh my God, your dangly bits. It's like, they're really mine. It's like, oh, okay.
Okay. We're going to meet three new sexy beasts. The Warthog. Should we have gotten Chappelle the Warthog to team up with the Meerkat at least for one scene?
Yeah. You had it. It was right there. It was right there. So I had to wonder if they took these from like an off-Broadway production of The Lion King. Yeah. And they just keep using
Disney
the.
Would like, well, once yeah, they drop us a Hakuna Matata on this show.
When you know, I was a young Warthog.
if they truly filmed these episodes all like around the same time, I really would have loved for them to just like fill an auditorium with like all of the rejects in their costumes and let them mingle. And it's like hey,
a furry convention.
No, well, I thought you were gonna say you were gonna close Sexy Beasts with like a big musical number of like get them all on the stage. Like,
listen, Rob, I am not a musical person, so I don't know how I feel about the.
We're bringing Sexy Beasts.
Okay, okay,
no.
Rob, are you gonna make me write a wand off about this stupid show?
Yes.
Please don't
micro wand offs.
We're bringing sex,
but I'm thinking about what about the missed opportunity between the Warthog and the Meerkat? Like maybe,
yeah, you know? They could have done like a speed dating, like in like a round of that, just for like if they want to give us extra television, give us that instead of all these intros. I mean, what else are y'all doing? You know,
yeah, we need the Ponderosa of
We're in the when they're in the makeup room taking off the prosthetics and they're getting to know each other and they're like, oh, we're all hot. Like literally all 70 contestants are hot. What do we do now? We all didn't get picked. Should we just, you know, like smush? You know,
there's
like,
probably more love stories that
hi, I'm Patrick the Fish, and this is my Ponderosa.
Justice for Patrick the Fish.
That's the one I'm least interested in, to tell you the truth.
So boring. So boring.
Yeah. All right.
Back to the warthog.
The warthog. The warthog, the ogre, and the fish walk into a bar.
Mm-hmm. And it's a fake bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Chappelle, would you rather cry hot sauce or sweat barbecue sauce?
So, you know, I put a lot of thought into this. And I, too, don't cry a lot. So I was going to go with cry hot sauce. But I normally cry when I'm laughing. Like, I laugh myself into tears. And I would hate to be really laughing about something and then my eyes would be burning, because at that point, people would be laughing at me. And then I wouldn't be able to take myself seriously. So I'm going to go with sweat barbecue sauce.
No, that's so the wrong answer.
Well, what if I want somebody to lick on me?
I was going to say, that sounds delicious.
Hi, Jenny. No.
Is it honey barbecue sauce?
Is the honey roasted barbecue sauce Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, it would save you from going to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
It would.
It's like, well, I don't want to go to Chick-fil-A. Can you put the thermostat up to 80? Yeah.
Yeah. The same sauce without all the toxicity and the problematicness. Like, please, give me the barbecue sauce. Mm-hmm. Well. Wait, what are you talking about, Jenny? I am not, you know what? This is not, what did this podcast become about me? Stop dragging me.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. They brought up a good point, though. It's like hot sauce in the eye. Very painful. Mm-hmm. If you're crying the hot sauce, that just sounds painful. It's like, I mean, sweating the barbecue sauce, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. You might
it's not painful at least.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's, you know, at some point, you know, that's been every day. Like, you're going to be sweating barbecue sauce. I feel like, how often am I crying?
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of wardrobe changes throughout the day if you're sweating barbecue sauce, you know.
Okay, just but Is there like an antiperspirant that blocks the barbecue sauce?
Chicken nuggets. You just stuff them underneath your armpits.
Yeah.
Ranch? No. No, 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 no. The day I let ranch touch me will be my last day on earth.
What if someone just wants to mix it with that barbecue sauce?
Really, the reason why we're saying this, this was a question. I'm assuming most people have not watched the episode.
This is just our natural conversation.
Yeah. It's one of the icebreakers that they use. And honestly, I don't think this the show provided this one either. I think Nigel the Warthog is just that guy who has like the talking points, you know?
I don't know, because then one of the other couples were talking about, would you rather have the upper body of a fish or the lower body of a fish?
It was still this couple.
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got into the Shape of Water. Do you think that Jeff Schroeder from
Would you rather get stung by a bee that was silent, or would you rather be attacked by one giant sized bee that had some gassy bombs.
Gassy bombs.
Yes. Or
gassy
one bombs. Giant farting bee.
Would you rather sweat barbecue sauce or cry hot sauce?
I want that on the next Big Brother casting interview.
There's a drinking game called WTF where they ask you these questions and then you have to pick A or B, but you have to select what the person who read the question would have picked, right? So your goal is to get what they would have said, not what you want to say. And the game is, if you get it wrong, you have to take one, two, or three shots. So let's say you were playing with 10 people. Before your turn comes back around, essentially, you could have taken, you know, tons of shots just based off of the idea that somebody wants to sweat barbecue sauce instead of cry hot sauce. And so I've played that game plenty of times and I've never won. I don't even know what winning looks like. I think it's if you drink the most, you win. Because if that's the case, then I've won all the time.
You win all the time.
Yeah, but it's a horrible game. Don't buy it, but definitely don't bring it to the live know-it-alls when that happens.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want the upper body of a fish? I mean, this is like a
wait. I mean, so you would want the lower body of a fish?
I don't know what it was. My head is a fish. Like, what am I at that point?
Well,
like, I have my genitals and my legs, but like,
don't you want those?
But who's talking to the head of a fish?
You're a man.
I don't even have arms, Chappelle. What am I doing?
You don't need to date. You're a married man. Gosh, why are you trying to leave yourself open to your new life?
You can't inject reality into this fake scenario.
Why not? I give strong upper face. I wouldn't be able to give strong upper face if it's a fish.
I mean, nobody's seen my legs in 2 years.
Yeah. If I hadn't met you in person, Rob, I wouldn't even be able to confirm
nobody
that
would
your
know
lower body
if I had
a fish.
I could be swimming in a fishbowl back here.
Yeah, fins galore.
I really didn't like The Shape of Water. Like, I really didn't. I still don't know peace after watching that movie. Still. So even just talking about this,
all I know about that is that we don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We leave Grinding Nemo out of all the conversations.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah, leave Grinding Nemo out of all your conversations from now on. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a moment where that the ogre got asked about a most embarrassing moment.
Sam the ogre. Fitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he has a wild story.
So Sam the ogre was the one who was like, was he the one who was peeing in the soup?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say pee. He did not
okay,
say pee.
Yes. Okay.
Let me really question if it's the other one.
I would love to know if it was
how
pee.
That worked.
Was it soup or was it stew? I think that's the real question here.
Mm-hmm. Really love stew.
I'm dreaming of stew.
Rob hates stew. And I would hate here, stew
let me
too.
Let me play this clip. Okay. All right. Here's Sam the ogre tells his most embarrassing story.
The most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you.
Okay. I'm in China.
Nice.
The first night, I'm like meeting my host family, but I really had to go to the bathroom. There's one bathroom in the house, and my host brother took it. My host parents gave me some delicious soup, but I really had to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
So I went in the soup.
Oh my God.
What? Why? How?
Did he went to the bathroom?
In the soup.
His equipment out in front of these people and he piss did. In his soup?
He did not say piss.
did he drop a gassy bomb into his soup?
Why? And she picked this man.
I mean, spoiler, but she picked the soup pisser.
Soup pisser. It's his soup.
I mean, first off, like, why? Why would you piss in soup? It doesn't make any sense.
He didn't say piss.
Why would you
poop in soup?
I would not do any of these things. I wouldn't go on this show. I wouldn't not share the these stories.
Why? There was no other option. We were in the car and I was like, the soup is the only option.
And like, I just am trying to figure out, it's like, did they walk out of the room for a second? And then he's like, they'll never know. And he just like stands up and like, you know, relieves himself into the soup. And then what happens? They come back into the room.
Yeah, they come back like, Sam the ogre, aren't you going to finish your soup? You're going to insult our family if you don't finish our delicious soup.
And that's how I got kicked out of my
That's how I got physically removed from the country.
Yeah, I got deported.
Yeah. You know, did he even say that it was his soup or did he pee in like the soup proper? Did he pee in
the pot?
Yeah, like they left him in the kitchen too long and he had to pee in the soup. And then also, was the soup eaten?
Okay, I'm in China.
Nice.
The first night, I'm like meeting my host family, but I really had to go to the bathroom. There's one bathroom in the house and my host brother took it. My host parents gave me some delicious soup, but I really had to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
So I went in the soup.
They gave me some delicious soup.
They gave him some soup. So they did give him a bowl of soup. He's sitting in the bedroom. The clock is ticking. He's looking at the soup.
I mean, Chappelle, in fairness, I mean, it is called a toilet bowl.
It is a bowl of sorts. Maybe pee in that.
was the guy going to be in the bathroom that long?
He was in
the host brother. Is there not a window? He could...
If there isn't like a legit argument to cancel all people named Sam after this, I just don't think there will ever be one. Like, this is the proof. What else do you want?
I just feel like I've never been in this situation, but I just feel
like... Oh, please,
like,
thank you.
Thank goodness.
I've never been in China with a pee in the soup type dilemma. I just feel like there are so many other less messed up ways that you could go about this. It's like, even go find like a shirt you packed and like I don't know. Is that worse?
You're going to pee on a shirt?
You pee in the shirt?
Like a towel or something.
Pee on a towel?
Pee on a towel?
Well, because they used to put in laundry.
I mean, on your first day, you just show up to laundry with a pissy towel? Like, who's going to touch the towel? Like, I'm sure you don't know, like, how the laundry works on your first day.
Sam the Ogre, if you are out there listening to this, can we please get the context of this story?
I need an interview.
Yeah.
We got to do the long form interview at this point.
Listen, if Taryn can do like 50 post Big Brother 23 interviews, we can get a one post Sexy Beast interview with Sam so I can get to the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then not the bottom of the soup because I'm not going there.
And while we're in it, let's interview Devin too, because how dare you? Why did you pick him? What is wrong with you?
I thought he was kind of charming.
Beyond she liked the Lord of the Rings, and so she loves that. That's kind of like her love language is the Lord of the Rings. So like he kind of won her over with that. But this soup thing is very problematic, and I don't love it.
Okay.
I also think that it kind of became a, like, you know, the most attractive of the options in front of her, because as we mentioned, Patrick the Fish was boring. She eliminates him, and she even like calls out at that first elimination about Nigel basically being like, I got to know you really well, but I don't feel like you got to know me. So it's like, clearly, like, this guy talks too much. And he wasn't asking her any questions about her, so she felt like they weren't really, like, connecting on both sides. So it's like,
I mean, the man asked her, would you rather cry hot sauce or sweat barbecue sauce? I mean, he wants to get to know her.
Really getting to the deep stuff on night one.
So I have those two stupid dates in this episode that they do the double decker bus tour, riding around London.
Yeah, I was drunk when I did that too. So I get it.
Did they give you the microphone, Chappelle, and let you do the tour yourself?
Oh, please. I would have been deported instantly. London people came and got me. I'd have been asking so many questions about colonization. You have to come and get me.
Yeah. He said that the Thames River was founded in 1492.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. I would be the perfect audience for this. I'd be like, same. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Ferris wheel was donated by Mr. Ferris himself.
Yes.
Whoever that is.
Tim.
Bueller.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, oh, okay. I learned so much.
I would hate this date, though, to be honest. I would be like, this is so boring.
The second date was giving us Great British Bake Off vibes. So we bring in like this celebrity cooking instructor who's going to teach them to make apple tarts. But plot twist, Chappelle, Devin the tiger is afraid of apples.
Yeah, and I didn't know which one was worse, right? Being afraid of bees and completely crumbling on your date, or like being afraid
apple
of
crumble
apples.
Is delicious.
Yeah, well, she's afraid of that too. Yeah, she says something about the texture and the sound that apples make. And I remember back in the 90s and like early 2000s where they would have those talk shows where like Tyra Banks would be like, oh, you're afraid of balloons. And then she would trap you in a room full of balloons.
Wait, that's like, a show?
What? The Tyra Banks show. She used to like grab people. Like it was like a person who was afraid of like, oh man, was it oranges or something like that? And they were just like squeezing them. And the woman just like running through the crowd crying. And then ultimately they make Tyra go and face her fears too. So she's like afraid of dolphins or something. And so they take her to SeaWorld and she's forced all these other people to be traumatized and to run around the studio crying and all this other stuff. She gets to the water at SeaWorld and she just says, no, I can't do it. And that's it. That's the end of the episode.
Like, I'm not surprised.
She tortures everybody. And the moment it's time for her, she's like, I think the most important thing here is that I thought about it and I'm not doing it.
I've grown enough.
Yeah. So
okay, but here's the thing. I will defend Devin here in that
are you afraid of apples?
I think that it could just be like a neurodivergent thing where it's like, cause she fixates on the sound and the texture. And I can definitely understand that. Like I have a thing with like balloons where like the sound.
Does Tyra know?
Well, don't tell her because she's going to try and ruin my life, apparently.
She does.
The sound or like plastic wrap, like the sound and texture. And I think that that's really what Devin is struggling with here is like the sound, the crunching of it, the sound of them being cut. But like clearly, like she brought this up at some point in casting.
Clearly, very much and so. Then, yes. Yeah. Surprised that one of the three guys wasn't an apple. Mr. Apple.
Wait, on one of the dates, a guy is, and it's not one of the ones we watched, but I think I was watching ahead because that's what I do.
Why?
And there was,
you're sick.
You know, that and other drugs. And but so I'm watching ahead and there's a guy who like literally sits down and says, "Oh my God, I'm terrified of snakes." And he's staring at a snake woman. And she's like, "What? Did y'all know this going in?" So there's a non-zero sure chance that they would have dressed her as an apple. I mean, dressed him as an apple just for this occasion.
Now, Nigel said that, no, I get it. I'm the same way with bananas. Chappelle, do you buy that? Or was he just trying to, you know, be a like a sympathetic figure?
Yeah, he was just trying to look out for her. Because I think he doesn't know, like this date feels like a trap. Right. It's like the bee showing up at the golf course. That's happenstance. You know, like I just happen to be here. The bee is here as well. Who could have thought? Right. But to go to a date where your whole goal is to make an apple tart, you're like, well, she's afraid of apples. Like the only other thing she could be afraid of is tarts. And then at that point, what would we do? And so he's like trying to make the best of this moment where he has no clue what to do with his hands. He's just standing there like, I mean, I'm just happy she hasn't just run out of the door crying. So I think he's just trying to help. I don't think he's really afraid of bananas.
On the contrary, I don't think he's afraid of bananas, but I think that she was also not representing that she was afraid of apples. She was just saying, I don't like them. Don't like the sound of them. I don't like the texture
of them.
How
do you like them apples?
Not at all. He made a good point about bananas, I will say, where he was like, I don't really like the texture of it. And it's like, I feel you. They're kind of weird and hairy and gummy.
Hairy and honestly, gummy?
Hairy? You know when you get a banana and then there's like the little stringy things on the outside?
Yeah, I get that.
It's like, it's not a fun time.
Yeah.
It's more like a vein, like a nice veiny, like veiny, like banana.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's like, I always thought about his veins. But you know, I thought this was absurd. And now that I really think about it, if I had walked in and they were like, today we're making mayonnaise, I'm like, I'm out. At the end of the day. We're having a ranch eating contest. I'm dead. That's it. Just cart me away. So I get it. I do get it. I was making fun of her, but I understand.
But I really like that. Again, I think I'm maybe just like a Nigel apologist here. Is that like when he was singing while cutting the apple? Like, first of all, for me, that would probably be worse because then I'm like, oh, now I have a sound I don't like layered with the sound of you singing, which I probably don't like as well. But it was the thought that was very sweet where he was like, I'm going to distract her from the noise of me cutting this apple, which is going to upset her, with like a cute little song showing off my personality. But it didn't seem that she thought it was that cute.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately,
so, bad for Nigel.
Devin is going to pick Nigel the Ogre.
Yeah, pea soup man.
Did we notice?
That's right.
Yeah, pea soup. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah, but did we notice that the last date, Nigel, they didn't do any champagne. I was looking for the liquor. I felt like at that point, you stressed somebody out. Like, we're doing shots. But, you know, I think he's at a disadvantage at that point. I just don't think there's no cup. I don't think Sam the Ogre would have survived this date either. You just put her in an impossible situation where she's afraid of the actual date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also, like I was saying, she went into this date not like expecting much of it. She had already made her decision in round one that she's picking Sam. She literally says that she was pleasantly surprised by the date with Nigel. Mm-hmm. And this was a date where they were doing something that upset her. It's like, then you were pleasantly surprised. Like, how low were your standards?
Yeah.
It's like, I thought this guy sucks. To keep me from having a panic attack.
I said Nigel the Ogre. Sam is the Ogre. I apologize about that.
Sam is the Ogre. Well, again, that, fitting.
Well, what do we think about the Sam on the reveal?
Sam's in general are just
I thought he was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Not my type, but I expected him to be less attractive. Like, I felt like, I don't know, I just got like extreme.
The ogre was like, you know, the ogre is like not like a creature. It's like a ugly like monster.
He he had like a good looking face. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought that. Wasn't almost my type.
Like onion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, the body language between the two of them was so uncomfortable. Like there was awkward hand holding.
Oh.
It was like a grade 7 dance with the amount of space between the two of them. It was like she was keeping God between them and the whole church in between them. Like it was so awkward. Like we go from the first episode in these three episodes with like the makeout after the reveal, and she, she does not want to be close to these people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does look very boyish. You know, he doesn't have a lot mm-hmm. of facial hair, very curly hair. He looks kind of young, but even in that moment, I think he picks up on it too. Cause he says the thing that I've been waiting for is just anybody to say, can I have your number? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, you do have to ask for that kind of thing on this show, because everybody else has just been falling in love left and right. Like I'm in love with them. I haven't even seen them, but I'm in love with them. He's like, I mean, I peed in my soup. Can I have your phone number?
Yeah, that was the most realistic ending.
Yeah.
It was perfectly awkward in line with how everything went.
Yeah, so that's, half of Sexy Beast season 2 for you. Will there be a season 3, Jenny?
I mean, I was surprised there was a season 2.
Yeah.
So, I think I had heard that, that season 2 was filmed shortly after season 1. So I, it made sense that it happened. And like I said earlier, I think that they filmed them and split them up to two different seasons. I don't see what else you're doing here. Is there going to be a season 3? I don't think so. But I also didn't think that there needed to be a season 2. And here we are talking about it.
Here we are.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think that's it. I mean, I feel like that Netflix, historically, like they don't really like to go past a season 3 with a show with too many shows anyway, right? Isn't that their thing?
Yeah, there's normally like 2 or 3 seasons and then out. But, these shows, these popcorn shows where it's kind of just like 20 minutes to record, you need like minimal people on set. The money is right there. I just don't see them passing up on something that easy where they can just throw this show together with hot people, make them meet each other, and then move on. Like it's right there. I just mm-hmm. they're going to do it. They but always do.
Are they making money off of this again? I'm going back to my theory.
We don't
that
really
this
understand
is a commercial.
The business model. But is anybody subscribing for Sexy Beasts?
Like specifically for that?
Yeah.
To be fair. I remember when the trailer dropped, you were like, oh gosh, it's time.
I got duped. I thought, because I was like, I love dating shows. This is ridiculous. But I'm sorry. I want to get invested in people. And I could not give less of a shit about any of these people.
Yeah. I think that a lot of the business model at Netflix is like, how do we make something that's going to get headlines that people will talk about? So talk about Netflix, talk about what's coming up on Netflix. And now it's sort of like, well, now Sexy Beast is like, it has done that, mission accomplished. And now let's move on and create the next new thing that's going to get people talking. So Rob and Chappelle have a new thing to podcast about.
Right.
And I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
All right. Chappelle, should we look at the Netflix top 10?
Yes. So Netflix does the thing now where they tell us not only the top 10, but they also tell us what's coming next week.
Yeah, well, there's a new and popular, and then there's like they have a whole thing about like the that they have a website, right? Where they show like the number of downloads.
Yeah, like they're doing a podcast kind of thing on Spotify where they tie the podcast to certain Netflix shows. So I'm hoping that we can figure out a way to get in there. I don't know what that means, but I would like to be a part of whatever that is.
Yeah.
Let's check out Netflix top 10 and then kind of work our way through, what could be coming next.
In the top 10, this is new. I haven't seen this before. What is this? True Story starring Kevin Hart and Wesley Snipes. What is this, Chappelle?
So I hear this is
Kevin's, a movie?
This is Kevin Hart in a series, and it's a serious role for him. It's not like the normal comedy that they do. And so been getting a lot of buzz because it's so out of the box for what Kevin Hart has done. But I'm not really sure about the premise of the show. I've seen mixed reviews about it, but it is currently number one
as of recording time. Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm intrigued.
Number three, Selling Sunset. Reality.
Yes. And we've gotten a lot of suggestions about Selling Sunset. There's also a Selling Tampa that is coming out soon or has been released. And so like the people are clamoring for the Sunset Selling. It has come up a lot in the nothing but RHAP mentions. And so that would also be a decent decision. Mm-hmm. I think if we decide to go that way,
I see a lot of people tweeting about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of Christmas movies in the top 10 at 6, A Castle for Christmas. At 7, A Boy Called Christmas.
A Boy Called Christmas Abbott. I have no interest in any of that.
We probably have to do some holiday stuff this month or coming up, right?
Yeah, Jenny and I with the collective groan. Listen, we could do some holiday stuff.
I don't love the holidays, but I do love like making fun of holiday movies.
I was told that there's some movie where a princess plays herself three times over, and this is the third one, and blah blah blah.
Holiday movie.
I don't know, but some people want to talk about it. I'm indifferent, but I hear that it's ridiculous. And so I'm okay with entertaining the conversation.
Okay, what about School of Chocolate?
I'm good.
That's number 10. You're out on chocolate?
Chocolate's fine, but we already did the baking show. Do we have to do chocolate too? I like chocolate. I mean, we did the chocolate episode of the bake-off.
Fine. I'll just eat chocolate after the podcast.
You was going to do that anyway, Rob. Hey,
that's true. I have a lot of
chocolate's overrated.
Dessert.
Whoa, Jenny.
I know.
Okay.
All right. I have Jenny back one.
So, Chappelle, do we have something locked in for next week?
I'm thinking Selling Sunset is kind of what the hot topic is, but I'm looking at the coming next week attractions.
Oh, we didn't look at what's coming next week.
Right. And so I'm seeing like Shaman King, whatever that is.
20-somethings Austin. Now that is like the Netflix's like real world competitor, right?
Yes. And we've gotten a lot of feedback about that as well, because it kind of goes hand in hand with the removed RHAP Rewind. So it would be interesting to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming. I don't know if it has to be next week, but I think it could be a good option.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else pop out on the coming next week list?
Nothing that I see. Looks like some kids shows, some cartoons.
A couple Christmas movies, How to Ruin Christmas, Blase Blase. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a few things coming this week. Single All the Way.
Single All the Way.
Yes. It is a
holiday
movie.
Peter asks his best friend to pose as his boyfriend on a Christmas visit at home, but their plan and their feelings change when his family plays matchmaker.
Mm. Yes, and I believe Jennifer Coolidge is in this, so it should be funny. Yes,
my favorite survivor.
Jennifer Coolidge and Kathy Najimy.
Yes, and we love Kathy Najimy. So, you know, if we have to do one,
if we're going to do a holiday movie, like I feel like it's a little early for it.
Yeah, we can wait on that one. I'm just saying, it's coming, though. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Coming out, Colton. That sounds like a good time. Yeah, okay. I think the.
So do you have a prohibitive favorite?
Nah, I think right now I'm leaning toward the Sunset Show, just because I know that it's in.
Do you want to call it?
We can let the people talk a little bit. Let's let the podcast drop. We will pencil that in lightly in pencil, because I think I have a guest, and I think there's
sell us two on guests, selling actually. Sunset if that's what you want.
Yeah. Sell us the podcast.
Get us sold.
Sell nothing but Netflix. Yeah, but okay. I think we have the guests lined up if we do Selling Sunset. So I'm willing to entertain that if you are.
Okay, I'm very willing. I mean, especially like anything that's like new reality on Netflix. I feel like that's really in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool. All right, Jenny, what's coming up for you?
Not a whole lot. My work is very busy right now. But I do this thing where I don't appear on the podcast or any podcast for like several months, and then I like will pop up and like make people remember that I exist and do like a couple things in one
week.
That's
right.
So I don't know when this is dropping, but I will be with you, Rob, tomorrow doing the Patreon Q&A for Survivor 41.
I think we're dropping all of our Jenny podcasts on Monday.
All right. So it's going to be okay,
this is
going to
be
Jenny
a huge Jenny Autumn Cyber Monday.
Wow. Love that.
To be fair, nothing but deal. Netflix drops at like 11 o'clock p.m. So it's Monday-ish somewhere.
Monday-ish, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Monday
about
somewhere.
Tuesday, yeah, you'll have all your Jenny content.
Prime
for the
time
week.
On the West Coast.
That's totally fun. Yeah. So that, I'm looking forward to that. And then other than that, just, occasional streaming on Twitch when I have time and feel up to it. Which is not a lot these days, but if you are interested, follow me there, twitch.tv/JennyAutumn, and on social media, Jenny Autumn. And I was just very happy to get to podcast with two of my favorites again. So thank you, Jenny, putting yourself through three episodes of Sexy Beast.
It was worth it.
Okay.
It was.
I appreciate that. I know it's a lot.
This was a great time.
60 minutes
yes.
of the same thing over and over again. But
yes. Chappelle, you must have another busy week coming up.
I don't think so. I think this is a slower week for me. Yeah.
Wow.
I think I get to relax a little bit. So per usual, I'm doing the silent podcast with Sasha Joseph, talking about Never Have I Ever. We're almost done. With season two, and then we will get a good break until they decide whether or not they're going to give us season three in the summer. So I'm very excited about that. Still talking about Insecure on post-show recaps, and I believe the show is about to come on in a few minutes, so I'm going to hop off of there and then go watch that. So we're still doing that with Mari Forth, Latanya Starks, and I think we might bring in a special guest this week as well, but ooh, check that out. Yeah, we like to change it up on the Insecure podcast. Also on post-show recaps, The Walking Dead. We're still talking about The Walking Dead. We have two more weeks, I believe, of this season of The Walking Dead, World Beyond, and Fear of the Walking Dead. And so we're about to wrap that up, I think, by December 5th. I think it's the last episode. So that's coming to an end soon. But I don't think I'm on anything else. I think currently I'm just kind of hanging out.
Okay.
I'm chilling. No one's hired me to guest on anything. No one's called. So I'm just hanging out.
You're going to say that now. Everybody's going to be like sliding into those DMs.
Yeah, I haven't heard the Renap wheel for the week, but I'm sure it's something that I could talk about if I wanted to.
Yeah, on Renap, that we ended up not having enough time to record our planned Five Nights at Fally's. So Akiva and I took some listener questions, and then we had the encore presentation of a classic Renap episode, the Rehapchular. But we did about an hour of new stuff at the front of that podcast.
Yeah, the wheel is dummy thin, and we got to get more stuff on there.
Do you have any pitches? Yeah, so come in for a mailbag, and then
that's a good idea.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm just gonna pop in on the mailbag and remind Akiva of all the things he tabled that could be on the wheel now.
I mean, you and everybody else. Yeah.
All right, we need to talk about it. But aside from that, I think I'm good.
robiswebsite.com/Netflix feed. You could subscribe; it won't kill you.
It literally won't.
I mean, the least you can do. Come on.
We watched Sexy Beast.
We watched three episodes of Sexy Beast. Usually you got a 2-hour podcast out of it.
Yeah.
robiswebsite.com/Netflix subscribe. even if you don't subscribe, give us a star rating. Why are you being so stingy with your stars?
Five
you
stars.
Have unlimited really stars to give away. Your stars runneth over. Start filling up some more cups.
Yeah.
Or soups, soups. Piss all over it.
Yes.
Yeah, fill it up.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.